Hi everyone, and welcome along to The Hype and the Hope.
I'm Shari.
I'm Mike, and I'm a little bit animated today.
Why are you so animated?
I don't know, because we start work an hour later tomorrow maybe, I don't know.
Okay, get the party started. You are very ambitious to suggest recording this on a Wednesday.
Yeah, well, you know, we're getting towards the end of the school year, aren't we? You know, I was exhausted during the day, but now I have energy.
Now we can live our lives.
We can. We don't live at work.
No? Okay.
So what do we do on this podcast? Is it a podcast? I can't even remember. Yes, it is.
These days, podcasts are so often visual. It's very confusing. Was it? It's really just a little diary.
It is.
Just a little snapshot of our diary, lives.
Talky diary, yeah.
Something we say that we'll have when we're old to treasure, but I'm not going through these files again. And all of this will probably be cut out.
Maybe. I hope not. I think you should put it in. It adds sort of verisimilitude to the life of a...
Verisimilitude.
Well, you know, the...
The human struggle writ large across Morgan podcasts. So here at The Hype and the Hope, we generally talk about three games. And the first game we talk about is one that we've decided to add to our collection, even though there is no room. And everybody's in that boat now, based on the comments for the coming Food Chain Magnet Kickstarter, where they're talking about filling maybe not one, but two Kallax cubes. Everybody's, whoa, Nelly, no one has room for that. But what's the second game we usually talk about?
A game that somehow we didn't buy.
So we were tempted. We were intrigued.
But we didn't get it.
And yeah, and maybe and for reasons other than shrinking shelf space, something that maybe wasn't going to, I don't know, I'm not going to say scratchy itches, but
these days it doesn't really have to be much that, you know, just maybe one red flag that sort of.
That is so true. We've come to this point where things need to tick all kinds of boxes now. The rubric, I think, is more strenuous.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, yeah. I mean, I will sometimes argue against a red flag, and we have had some success there, but often we don't. And the other thing?
The last thing that we usually talk about is a game that we did add to our collection, and we've played it for the first time recently. And was it worth it? Should we have added it?
We'll find out. Well, and then, of course, there's the bit about the lava lamps that we added to our collection.
And then, of course, there are all the bits that have nothing to do with board games.
Like lava lamps, yeah.
Like lava lamps. All the asides.
So, I love lava lamps.
So every time Mike talks about lava lamps, see, we should be... I knew...
No. I've got a drink here. I'm allowed to have a drink.
No, you're not, first of all.
Okay.
I know it's the dining room, but no. Then you made me poke my boom arm. I really wish we had boom arms like Conan O'Brien has.
Yeah, see, I was thinking how it could go up and above.
Yes, that's a common configuration. But
is it? Okay.
Trust me, I've tried things. These are not great boom arms.
Maybe this is just our initial ones, and when the sponsorships start pouring in, you know, we'll get some better
from
ones.
From the big lava lamp money.
Yeah.
Starts coming in. So Mike has this thing of late where every time he eats or drinks something, we all have to hear about it for 10 minutes afterwards.
Yeah, go into coughing fits and have a post-nasal drip. Should I have a sip?
No, stop. Don't even mime it. So, and then he's like, oh, I'm getting a drink because I'm parched. You had all of that time to drink.
I had been drinking.
Yeah. And now
it's a thirsty day.
And then the air conditioning's blasting in here.
That's true. Although, okay. So, yeah, I do cough after I've eaten or drunk something. And I probably do have to go to the doctor about that.
I'm not going to edit it out. So.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. So if you hear me coughing and spluttering, it means I've had a sip of my lemonade, which in Australia is basically Sprite.
Basically, but not Sprite anymore because Sprite is ruined.
Yeah, well, that's another story and another podcast.
Is it? I thought it was three games and whatever. There's
artificial flavoring sweetener in even full sugar Sprite now.
Is it that way in the States? Do you know?
No, it is not. But then it's just that high fructose corn syrup stuff. So,
you know, I would take that over whatever it was that...
Yeah, it's an abomination.
Every time I think, well, it's not that bad, is it? Oh, just let us make grown-up choices.
We are sidebarring a little more than usual here.
Usually we do try to get into the content and then, you know, throw all this on when people don't suspect it. Let's do that. Let's talk about a game that we've decided to add to our collection.
Okay, and the first game that we decided to add to our collection...
Wait, there's going to be more than one?
Well, the first game that we're going to talk about.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
They're was actually more than one game we subscribed to our election, but we're only talking about one. And it's a game that we somehow were the only people in the universe, a version of it, to not have in our collection, although technically we kind of do.
Well, we've been saving ourselves and waiting for the right time.
Yep.
And now...
when we love a game very much...
Yes, and okay, we have been experimenting with the app over the years, but who hasn't done that?
And the little version of it.
And the little version we took to Rottnest, that doesn't count.
No.
But now, I'm so glad we waited, because now when we have our copy, it will be the result of having played Ticket to Ride Legacy.
Yes, that is what we have added, Ticket to the Ride Legacy, and we wanted it so much that we ordered it from overseas, and it's here. And I put the wrong address on it, and there was all sorts of chaos as I tried to get it redirected, and eventually we got it.
You put an address that doesn't exist, that's one number off of ours. You would have thought it would have been easier to fix.
Yeah, it was surprisingly annoying, but it's all right.
We've it worked it. Out in the end. We have Ticket to Ride London. We got that on a whim at Kmart one night.
And we wanted Ticket to Ride, but the app was so good. Mm. And also, it kept not being the right version of it. Like, there was that collector's edition that didn't vibe with any of the other expansions, which was, of course, back when we thought expansions were where it was at. And
but
we don't.
Ticket to Ride's different. I play the expansions in the app
once
in a great while. In fact, when I go to play, I never think, oh, base game. I flick through and I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll
do... Is it just like new routes and new maps? And,
yeah. No. It's actually so much more involved. You have ferries and weird little... So there, I haven't even played the... I think it's Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. And the auctions, I think.
Wow.
Yeah,
It sounds really complicated. And
And then you have the vertical maps versus the horizontal maps, which
to Ride Mars... You know, when you go
and... Why not? Little Mars monorail going around for all mankind, honey.
Yeah, it's back.
Yeah, we watched the first episode.
Yes,
how many more do we have?
I don't know.
How many did they release?
None.
They released at least one.
Yeah, but it's one. They released one.
Oh, one. I thought you said none.
Yeah, so it's... Okay. Well, I did say none, but you know, I thought you meant in addition to the one we watched.
No.
Yeah, no, it's not one of those, you know, binge sort of situations.
That's okay. We can wait and look forward to it.
Good show, yes.
Yes. We had the London one bought on a whim. We did take it to Rottnest, which is a special memory because it was little.
Yep.
And got to play Rottnest, if you don't know, place with all the quokkas.
It's an island.
Yeah, off of Western Australia. Very lovely. We went glamping, which
a lot of people complain about the prices of going there so close, and you could go to Bali for the same price.
Yeah, well,
I don't want to go to Bali. I like Rottnest.
No, that's a whole different discussion. You're allowed to like multiple things, but maybe go, you know, wait and then go to Rottnest. So, I don't know. I'm not the
Rottnest
boss of
good. Quokkas are adorable.
Budgets and how to
and
save
and it was fun
up.
Paying ticket not to ride London there.
I don't even remember anything about it, though. There were buses, right? Double-deckers?
Yeah.
Or was that just
and
on
we
the
also
box?
Didn't we also play...
Cabs? No.
Dinosaur or Dulosaur Island?
We
there
played
as well,
Dulosaur Island, sure.
That was fun, yeah.
And we had the ocean outside. It was stormy as could be, and we were in these...
Yeah, we ended up getting evacuated.
Pretty much, almost. We got on the ferry.
I mean, it was the next day. It was just about time to go.
Yeah, we went on an earlier ferry, but and kind of had to book it to get there, as in run for it a little bit. Yeah. Waddle towards
We'd already literally booked it, which wasn't really literally either, because...
No.
We'd literally reserved our tickets.
So we have Ticket to Ride experience.
Yes, we do. We're not totally
And we
nude.
Assumed early on when watching Will Wheaton's Tabletop.
Ticket to Ride would be one of the crown jewels
there
of
were
our...
There
were
so many games that I thought, well, we'll play that, you know, when we get better and when we know more and et cetera. And it just, if it had landed in our laps at the right time... We would have been playing that from the beginning, but it didn't, so we waited.
Interestingly enough, so many of the games that we came to, because Tabletop with Will Wheaton, as Shari says, was kind of our gateway into the hobby. It's how we learnt that all of these games existed. And
you didn't get production values back then on YouTube like you did on that show.
No,
they
or
were
necessarily
really good at that.
Games. You know, we hadn't turned into that. But I noticed we got a bunch of the games on Tabletop, and some of them we still play, but I feel like we quickly graduated beyond a lot of the stuff they were playing on Tabletop. And
Dixit's been pretty eternal.
Yes, although we never play it together because it doesn't play two players, but it gets played at school a lot.
Yeah, we tend to play it with our classes.
Yeah, and the Resistance is pretty good with my classes as well. But
And Gloom, that comes out, it came out once.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've continued to buy, let's see, we have Fairy Tale Gloom, never played. We bought every expansion for Gloom, and this was before the second edition came out and everything changed.
But it's so not like we play like things
we
like
bought Gloom of Thrones.
And Munchkin got we bought, you know, and I don't think we've ever played
we played it once.
Did we?
Yeah, it was fine. And we also got some add-ons for Munchkin. But yeah. Gloom of Thrones, with the play mats and everything, I think we were just caught up in two
fandoms.
We've
actually got two copies of that because the dodgy, smashed-up copy came. And
didn't we sell one? Or
I think we might have. Okay. Yeah. And you know, you don't see us like gravitating though towards games like Suro and so forth anymore, despite the irony of us getting the.
I like Suro.
Yeah, I like it too. I like pretty things as well, you know, which is.
We're not talking about that right now.
Yeah, that was expensive.
Let's just say the luxury edition of Suro is they're having to spend a lot of time, and I appreciate that, figuring out how to ship it. And I'm just wondering how that's going to end. I have no doubt we're going to get it, but they seem to be having a lot of trouble.
It is Calliope, but you know. I haven't been following this, but that should be nice when that arrives.
Yes.
Ticket to Ride Legacy. Yeah,
Ticket to Ride Legacy.
It was a reason to get it, wasn't it? The Legacy. We like Legacy games.
Yeah. How many Legacy games do you think that we've played or owned?
Well, I think we have played, obviously, Pandemic Legacy, and we've played about...
Well, there are three.
The first one. Mm-hmm. And we played about 25 minutes worth of the second one.
Right, which, and I can't
And then the actual pandemic happened, and I kind of didn't want to play Pandemic. We'll come back to it someday.
I'd like to play Season Zero as
well. We don't own Season Zero, but we should. Rise of Queens. Queensdale, Machikoro Legacy.
Which we're still in the middle of, but we enjoy it every time we bring it out.
Charterstone.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
No, there are three more at least. There's one we haven't finished because we got a bit mad at it, but we'd enjoyed it enough. But then you said the other day, no, we're going to go back and play that. And I thought, huh, it seemed like you were ready to know about
Jurassic Park Island of Legacy of Isla Nublar. Right. Oh, no, is that the one? Oh, I think
that's
we'll go
the
back
one.
To that.
And there was another one that you didn't remember saying that we would go back to. And I agreed we'd go back to based on a popular, I guess, video game, not a comic or graphic novel before that. A video game you played a lot of back in the day. Little Cards. Some aspects of genealogy.
Oh, Vampire the Masquerade.
Right.
Yeah. Blood. Not
Heritage.
Blood, Heritage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll go back to it.
And there was one that we will probably talk about more someday that I think is really nice. Great production. And I had a good time. Is it a legacy game? I guess it is. And it's over there to your left. On the top row of cubes, not on top of the Kallax.
I don't know. I can't really see.
Artisans.
Is it a legacy game? Do you change things? I guess you do.
Well, you're...
I guess you
do. It's a campaign game, and I think
is
you
it a campaign
things?
Game or a legacy? I don't know.
Now there's a blurry line.
There is. Campaign games are legacy games.
Speaking of changing things, have we ever actually destroyed components? Did we rip up any cards in Pandemic?
I don't think we did.
I think we carefully always put things in a little bag or something. Because Mike kept saying, we're not ripping it up. You know, I don't.
I mean, if that's the case, then is Sleeping Gods a legacy game?
No, that's a campaign game.
Yeah.
But don't think, I guess, no, Artisans maybe isn't. There's a lot of, but you, when you're done with it, you can't replay the character. Stop drinking. Stop drinking. Do you remember in MASH?
Yeah.
Okay, and
no.
Yeah, but you remember MASH.
Yeah.
The TV show, see? You're clearing your throat already. Yeah. And there was, who was the person who had 1970s hair in this 1950s era show? Well, lots of them.
Hot lips, right?
Hot lips sure, though, with those feathers going out to the side. And what was her classic line she said that was so funny to me when I was a kid, but I kind
remember.
Of get it now. And she says, at one point, she's really frustrated with Hawkeye and probably Trapper John. And she says, you're ruining this war for everyone. And yeah, so I realize I may seem to be overreacting and not focusing on
but
the right things.
But am I coughing? No, there's a slight little, you know, and then that was it.
Stop it. Stop it. I have so much
and
cough
And you'll
trauma.
Never know if that little... was an actual required cough that I was sneaking in theme to make it seem like it wasn't.
But. My eye starts twitching now every time.
So I've only had one drink. So,
but back to legacy games. Okay, so I think that's all of them. And we've weighed in on some of them in the past. But I actually want to talk about trains first. I want to set a mood. So Ticket to Ride is a train game. Can you please tell me your best memories of being on trains? If this is really for posterity in our old page, just thinly disguised through some board game conversation. Let's cherish some memories together.
I think the trains at Disneyland were pretty good.
I agree that the trains at Disneyland are good. I don't even remember.
And even Casey Jr. wasn't too bad.
I like the song.
Yeah.
And then don't you have the opportunity to be on one of the sort of caged animal cars? I can't remember.
I can't remember, but I do know that being on trains often is not my bag. I mean, I have horrible memories of the Hotham Valley Railway here that Dad took my sister and myself on, and it took a long time.
Sorry, Phil, if you're listening and later. If this is being
when
played
you went to
Mike's
the
funeral.
Toilet, it went straight out onto the tracks. Because it was a historic railway. And it was boring and uncomfortable, and I didn't like it, despite the historic trains and their chuffing and like.
So wait a minute. Could you?
I think it's still a thing.
Stand on the back and like the caboose and watch the tracks to see.
Probably. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah. So there was that.
Wait, and so when you went in there and you looked in the toilet, did you just see the tracks?
You could
the gravel
see the tracks. Yes,
going
you could.
Past.
Yes, you
that
could.
That sounds like a health hazard. Like you could drop something.
I don't know if that's the case anymore, but that's what it was like back in the 90s or late 80s. Might have been the late 80s. I obviously, the Yucatan Pass one was a pretty epic trip, despite me sleeping through large parts.
What did you say?
Despite me sleeping.
No, what did you say before that?
Epic.
Before that.
Yucatan Pass, or was that not what it was?
Where's the Yucatan?
Oh, not Yucatan. Yukon.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, the Yucatan Pass, you know, is like a we're into the dinosaur extinction sort of thing.
So that was in Fraser, British Columbia.
Yes.
And I slept. We rode
it
back.
It was really restful. Yeah.
It was.
There's lots of great photos of me asleep with snow outside.
There really are. And you missed so much good stuff. We birthed in Skagway, the cruise ship. We must have taken a van ride up to Fraser, because I remember being in a van and stopping, and it was cold when we stopped, and then waiting for the train, and your dad and Carol were actually on the train that was either heading further north or turning, I don't know. And then our car that we were assigned for our tour came, and we rode back, and I think you were asleep within 5 minutes, just that lulling rickety-tickety sound. You missed creatures, goats, elk, I don't know, rams, something on the side. And this bit where we went through a tunnel and it was coming up, and I was standing up in the back because I was trying to take pictures. So I was leaning around and whatnot. And these were like old school bus seats that we were seated in, you know, bony and hard with like thin green mats on them. And
I've got a better memory than me.
Because you were asleep.
Yeah, but I...
True. But yeah, the sleep erased all of that. And as we headed towards this tunnel, all of a sudden, everybody in the train car stood up. It was surreal. And it felt right at the time. I was standing. We go through the black tunnel. We're all standing up. And we come out of the tunnel. And I resume taking pictures and like, you know, kind of squatting and looking through the window. And everybody else sits down. And later, I thought, what happened? Was that some abduction memory? Why did everybody stand up when we went through the tunnel? I'd be very curious to know if there's some weird instinct, if other people have been on that train ride or, you know, any train ride that goes through a tunnel that's sort of tourist-oriented, even though it's historic and authentic. And
how did I even see the tunnel coming up? Does it say we're about to go through a tunnel? Or?
Well,
I don't mean
you wouldn't know this, but the windows were very big and the train went along tracks that would curve and so forth, so you could see the tunnel. We saw so many things up ahead. It was really pretty. But why did everybody stand up? It's like, and I have just nowhere to ask this. Or maybe Reddit. But which subreddit do you go to with that kind of question? All right, carry on. Train memories. And no peeking at my notes.
I mean, obviously the return, you know, is a play we do at school that takes place on the train.
Even though I don't consider Perth trains to be one of my better train memories.
No, it's not a great train memory, no. The train from Portland to Seattle was not too bad.
That's what I was waiting for. There was the crying baby, but Mike awake is what I wrote in my notes.
Yeah, that's always... So that's not a bad... And the station was cool, you know. At,
very.
Although I seem to remember having some issue with tickets or something when we were there, but...
I don't know. There was some... You needed a board... We had the ticket and we thought we had the boarding pass, but I guess we didn't have the boarding pass and stuff ensued.
Yeah, but those trains... Yeah, trains can be all right. I don't have a particular affinity. I did used to when I was a kid. I loved trains. They're fascinating.
Well, I ranked the White Pass Railroad, the Yukon one, as I think my best, most memorable, and then Portland to Seattle second. Then 1985, I took the train from Detroit to Toronto with my mother, and the whole train car played trivia, like Trivial Pursuit. Yeah. And at some point, the answer was, or somebody joked that it was Stevie Wonder. And thereafter, we'd always joke, we being the people in the train car, all these friends that I'd made there, that the answer to the questions was Stevie Wonder. So early trivia memory, quizzing memory. And then we sang songs, but I don't even remember what we sang. And then I put Disneyland Trains for Fourth. Do you remember riding to Disney, riding around, I want to say the left side of the park. What is that? Frontierland? And there would be like cast members that were crossing.
Yeah, vaguely.
And some were waiting there one time. And do you remember the song that played?
No.
Colors of the Wind. And they were all, when you get to a park.
Is that the Moana? Not Moana.
No, that's Pocahontas. Pocahontas. Which I've never seen.
Did you ever see the one? No, you know? Stop. No? All right, okay.
Yeah. I did buy tickets to go once, but I actually slipped out and went to see Judge Dredd instead.
Oh, okay.
So that's another story. And yeah, and they were all staying there waving at us. It was backstage, but you know, everybody was in character. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, just that Disney touch. That's so nice. Hmm. Do you think Ticket to Ride will have that sort of Disney sense of perfection?
I think it's a big box, so, you know, it could have a lot of backstage, you know.
And now that it's arrived, hello, is it even slightly longer than Fresco?
Yeah,
what come on, guys.
I mean, yeah, as you said, they're the makers of the classic Ticket to Ride box size, and they could at least have made it long. You know, as in, I mean, deep.
Yes.
You know, so it would fit in a calo.
How they must have cackled. We've got your standardized box size now.
Yeah, it's a weird box.
It's poking out. The rabbits are probably going to nibble the corners. I'm having to Tetris all the other Calyx things to get it up high enough.
Is anyone ever going to have the cojones one day to make a box that in no way fits in a Calyx? You can't even have it sticking out. You know, it's like
wouldn't that be like Kingdom Death Monster? And
wouldn't it? I mean, it would go in though. It would stick out, wouldn't it? Just a long way.
I'm not sure. But whenever we're judging people for having big games on top of their Calyx stacked horizontally,
yeah,
it's probably one of those games. Okay, that sound effect means that our batteries ran out.
Even though they said there was plenty of power, they were full of lights.
I thought it was on full charge, but I think it's because you weren't meant to hear things that happened. But we have disagreed on what you weren't meant to hear. So we're going to continue on a new topic, still talking about Ticket to Ride Legacy.
Yes.
In a vague and general way. Old West settings, because this is going to be Old West, right?
Great Western Trail.
Yeah, I put a little squiggle next to Great Western Trail because, is it?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because, I mean, it's all dudes for a start.
Okay.
You know, not in the, obviously in the second edition is like.
I don't know, the historic other ones
99
are.
99 or something.
Is it the clothing? Is it that, because I'm trying to think of what
Native
is.
Native Americans living in teepees.
Okay, you do have me there.
Yeah, okay.
What else do we have that's
Western
an Old
Legends.
West setting?
Yep. Longhorn, maybe Old West.
Yes.
Dinosaur Island.
Explain.
Really Old West.
Okay.
Actually,
that's south, though, isn't it? Isn't it kind of meant to be Costa Rica or near
maybe,
there?
Maybe, yeah. But I can't think of any others.
You have forgotten Carson City.
And Tiny Epic Western.
I forgot Tiny Epic Western.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I can't think of any others.
Coloma, which you're always trying to forget.
Of course.
Which you've warmed up to.
Carson City is a good game, yeah.
And there's one we haven't played, but is sitting right over there that I've really been looking forward to for its Old West theming.
What is it?
You just looked at it. You know what? I can't see it because you're blinded by lava lamps, or in this case, lava lamp boxes that they came in.
It's not the thing that. It's Fliptown. Fliptown, yes.
Which has that Old West pokery look and.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Sort of.
I like say, Old West themes.
But so do I.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to live
despite
in the Old West.
Despite the fact
West.
That I don't want to watch a Western, you know, and so forth.
No, I'm
that
not.
That much.
Although I've often.
I respect them, you know.
I've wondered about reading Westerns.
See, it's not the drink.
Like Larry McMurtry, who wrote Lonesome Dove?
And, I think so.
And James Michener maybe wrote some, and Cormac McCarthy has Western
themes. Yes, influences for certain things.
So, and every time I read a little bit of any of their writing, it's like, oh, I need to get more into this. So
yeah.
maybe like the whole Zane Grey series or something. Louis L'Amour.
Ladies and Grey.
Sure. No, okay. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Lady Jane Grey.
Okay.
Okay.
That's now kind of funny, and we need to go get Dolly 3 to make something based on that. But movie-wise, no. So books, maybe. Movies, eh. Unless we count the Apple Dumpling Gang. And Little House on the Prairie, there's that. So TV.
Tombstone I liked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wyatt Earp? Or
yeah, well, the Wyatt Earp thing with, you know, yeah, that was good.
The other Wyatt Earp?
Yep.
Okay, and then board
City
games.
City Slickers? It's not the Old West, is it?
Well, I actually was thinking, you know, something that's attractive about Trailblazer is probably some of that Western landscape, even though it's modern.
Yeah,
and
frontier
the Rockies
sort of stuff.
And,
yeah.
And, yeah, I think we need maybe more Old West.
Hmm.
Train companies, they are a part of Ticket to Ride. That is one of the few things that I know. And I wondered how many train companies you could name.
Zero.
But you should be able to name at least one.
I know that a lot of them have ampersands in them.
That is so true.
You know, but that's about all I know.
What are the conventions of naming your train company? Do you think we get to name train companies?
And they're normally named. I mean, if Railroad Tycoon has taught me anything, they're named after like the first route type thing or people.
Name one named after a person.
I don't know.
No.
Steve's Railway Company.
Yeah. I was thinking like Stevenson's Rocket.
Yeah. No, trains are named after people.
Don't we have a number of, you're right, trains are named after, like Walt Disney named.
Yeah.
One of them's named after his wife.
Yeah.
Or is that just the one car? No, it's
Mrs.
The whole,
Disney.
Mrs. Disney. Lilith? Lillian?
I think Lillian. Lilith is demoness or something.
She's in the, I'm not even going to get into that. And also in Fraser. Fraser.
Okay,
Got it right and wrong that time. So, Topeka and Santa Fe, what's the first word? Isn't there a song? Atchison, Topeka, Atkinson.
Of course we know the Morningtown Ride.
Yeah, you know it better than I do, but that's true. But is that the name of the train company?
I don't know.
And there's... Yes.
The Petticoat Junction, whatever that line is.
But that's the junction.
Is it? Yeah, it's just
What is that line called? I can picture Floyd, everybody in Green Acres, Petticoat Junction. What about, what's Transylvania 6500? But not Transylvania, it's the actual song. Pennsylvania 6500?
I don't know, I couldn't tell you. I honestly
Well,
not the
you shouldn't have won because once upon a time, and we were in Fort Worth.
I know your grandfather worked for it, but I don't know what
No,
the line
my grandfather was an air traffic controller. Okay. Hello.
Someone had
Keep
something.
It straight.
Someone worked for it.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be immortal because you are not equipped to deliver any eulogy nor make a poignant slideshow about me. So,
no, not at all.
Yeah. So, I'd what have you learned about me over the years? That's a separate podcast. You know what? If we ever do like monetize or anything like that, that could be a special Patreon episode if we did that kind of thing. Things Mike actually knows about Shari, and everybody will feel very ripped off when they pay their they pay their $2 for the 30-second video.
I know about you. It's relatives and stuff. I don't
it's
know.
It's a whole saga. Yeah. You need to learn it all, but... We went to Fort Worth to visit my family, and we were living in Las Vegas, and we went downtown Cowtown.
And we saw the train station.
Which had been remodeled.
Yeah. Well, didn't we kind of go into it?
We totally went into it. So it wasn't the train station. It was mostly the building for this train company where my great-grandfather was a roadmaster.
Yes.
It's sickening that you don't know this, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, when we're... quote off the air, I'll be asking you, and what was his name and what was his wife's name, but
Steve.
I'm gonna spare you
no,
that.
Okay.
By the way, I don't think I have any Steves in my family tree. Okay. not going directly up, a distant cousin maybe. And it was the Texas and Pacific
building.
Yes, we went
of course.
To see, and I even wrote in my notes, remember ? And then I was looking up train games on Board Game Geek, as opposed to somewhere else. And there was actually a game called Texas and Pacific.
Wow.
But like,
what does
all,
it get?
I don't know. But like all train games that are not Ticket to Ride or a few others that we have, it didn't look very interesting. Because I would say I'm, other than the app and a few others, I don't like the... We sold Age of Steam. I don't like the look of train games.
No, they're not very aesthetically pleasing very often.
All that 18XX, I'd love to get into some new fandom and that's board gaming, but then every time it's like, oh, so many hexes.
Yeah, but it needs to be closer to train set than plans.
Yes. So name our train games. By the way, what do you think is the number one train game on Board Game Geek?
There's not trains in Brass. Or are there? Is it Brass Birmingham?
The number one train game is...
Because there's trains in... No, it's canals. Okay. Hold on. The number one train game on Board Game Geek...
No, I actually don't know anymore, so let's skip that question.
I don't know.
Because yeah. You've actually confused me. What was I looking up when I made these notes? This was a while ago. We've taken our time in recording this. So, things for everybody to Google.
Yes.
Before you come to class tomorrow. What is the number one game? Because the number two is Russian Railroads.
Oh, is it? It's
yeah.
Pretty ugly.
Yeah, and I thought, ugh.
I heard it's good.
They're not, I bet it's great. So, yeah. Our train games are?
On the Underground.
Isn't that?
Yeah, there's trains.
Is it?
The Underground is trains.
Wait, which one do we have? We have London and Berlin.
Yeah.
It's not the tube?
Yeah, it's a train. What do you think goes on the Underground?
Yeah, okay.
They don't sit in like a...
Who's ridden the tube more?
It doesn't matter. It's
got
still
off the
a train.
Plane, went to the football oval, went yeah. back again.
It's still a train. I know a train when I see one.
Did you ride the tube both ways?
Yes, I even took the Heathrow Express.
That's not the flex you think it is.
It is. There is. It's a train. There is no question it's a train.
Fine.
It's not a bus, you know. Or a,
I know, but... Yeah, subways are their
just
own thing.
It's underground. It's still
that's
a train.
Interesting. It's like the way you call fish and seafood the same thing.
But a subway is still a train.
Yeah, there's a subway train, and then there's a train.
But it's still a train.
Okay, I'll allow it. Yes. What else do we have?
So on the Underground, Ticket to Ride to London, trams. They're getting close to... They're train adjacent.
Okay. What's in Coal Baron? I can't remember. It came up...
There's mine carts.
When I searched for this.
Right,
so, yeah. Board Game Geek... Well, the tramways came up. They'll allow that as a train. Anything with a track, according to Board Game Geek,
really?
I think. So, yeah, Coal Baron as well came up. What else? You've actually looked at... Or your eyes have gone to where a couple of train or train adjacent games are?
No, I'm lost. Railroad Inc.
Yes.
Yeah.
We talked about pandemic earlier.
Does pandemic have trains?
Iberia.
Oh.
Which is why I've always wanted to go back
and
play it again.
There's Iberian Rail.
But we don't have that.
We don't.
Brass Birmingham came up. There must be trains in it. I don't remember anymore.
Must be.
Canals and trains, right?
Maybe. I thought it was ships. No.
And maybe.
I don't know. I've been so long. We love Brass and
yeah.
and so forth, but we haven't just, played in a long time.
And look, our credibility meter just it went
absolutely. Snowdonia.
That's what I was waiting to hear.
Yeah.
The train game.
Yeah. And of course, Alabari, a nice cup of tea.
No, we don't talk about that one. But Snowdonia.
It's a good game.
There's no point to it when you're on Snowdonia.
But hang on. Great Western Trail.
Yeah, true.
There's a train.
But it's not train centric.
Rails to the North.
Which is one of the best expansions, but still not.
Yes.
Train centric. But Snowdonia doesn't get enough love.
Aren't there trains in Carson City? Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know. At this point, we're just naming tracks.
Okay,
so now I want to talk to you about something else that I know about. I'm sorry, I'm scratching my eye. It's not as annoying as, say, somebody coughing over and over again, because it would have been largely soundless if I hadn't announced it to you. So, I happen to know that... What? Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just laughing about the coughing thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's too soon.
I don't think so.
I think the battery cut out for a reason.
Okay,
because that's not how either one of us wanted to remember the other later. Okay, so we've seen the Ticket to Ride box get open. And when I say we've seen, I've seen it. You've been behind the computer. But lately, due to your lava lamp situation, acquisition,
the TV to move.
After 6 years, you moved the TV slightly to the left so that, you know, you can see the whole screen.
Around the monitor. Yeah.
That never bothered you for the 6 years previously.
No, I could only see, like, you know, 65% of the screen prior to this.
No wonder every once in a while.
Now I can see like about 88% of it. You know,
you'd say, we could get a bigger TV, and I'd say, no, it's fine. And you'd just go back to, you know, nose in the monitor. But but because of the lava lamp, we had to make
really
room
good lava
for that.
Lamp. There's two of them
in that
room.
Might be. There are three in that room. Thank you.
Are, but
the other one still
really
matters.
Count.
It matters.
It's not plugged in.
Well, that's one power board away. News on that developing problem slash situation later.
The where to put all the lava lamps.
Let's just say we're accelerating our shelving plans to put all of our board games in places. But anyway, so when you open the Ticket to Ride Legacy box, as we have seen some people do in their spoiler-free reviews, there are a number of boxes that have names on them, which I believe are... I mean, we've seen enough of the map to see
kind of... one of the names Steve?
Sure.
Yep.
Is it out of your system now?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of the eastern area, you know, heading west, obviously, a bit. I'm not sure how far south it goes, of the United States.
Yeah.
So classic Ticket to Ride. And then the rest of it's all covered. So clearly we're going to be exploring into the rest of the U.S. and start out with, I guess, some...
You know, it'd be super cool if they
minor
really
chain routes.
Go, and you think it's like just regular Ticket to Ride, but then there's like an alien invasion or something, you know, and you're having to like build trains for your alien overlords and, you know.
Well, one time I was in British Columbia.
Everyone stood up.
Yes. And I still don't know what happened. Maybe the sudden standing of the probe, but we won't touch that. That would be interesting. And for all we know, there is that dark twist.
Yeah.
Aren't there, what do they call the sort of sci-fi Western blended genre? There was that one we were watching.
Yeah.
Remember? It was so good and then it was so boring.
Yeah.
Was it The Ranch?
Outer Ranch or
something. Yeah. Like, and we still don't know what was happening, and we stopped caring, like, really hard.
Yeah, it was
hard.
A show had, like, 10 minutes of really amazing stuff and 50 minutes that made me just want to...
People pouting and staring at each other.
Yeah, every episode.
And not arguing in a healthy way.
Yeah. Was that the one where there was, like, that...
giant hole.
That couple went and looked at some other worldly place?
No, that's the Sissy Spacek one that you kept wanting to go back to, but...
Yeah, I was fine with that
one. It was sad. There were,
yeah. All right,
we'll come back to it.
Yep.
So, trains, Ticket to Ride. But on those boxes, so I froze the TV because this, I assume you see it as soon as you open it, so it's okay to talk about it, are 8 frontiers, I'm kind of thinking, that possibly you unlock throughout the game.
Yeah, that sounds cool. 8 frontiers.
So I'm going to give you the name of the 8, what I assume are frontiers, and you have to give me your top 3 most anticipated. What are you most looking forward to?
The Yukon, obviously.
That's not part of the contiguous United States.
Oh, of course.
I don't think we're going to Canada. Okay. You know, there is no Ticket to Ride Canada, is there?
No.
They really should have made it more North America, and then we could get into South America.
Yeah.
Hmm. Lost opportunities.
Okay, let me hit them.
Here you go.
Hit me with them.
Florida.
Yep.
In fact, just give me a little reaction to each. Florida. It's before Disney.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Fine. So it's not going to then link up and then.
Okay.
Open Range.
Yeah, a bit ambiguous.
Yeah. Great Plains. So east of the Rockies. The Badlands. So I assume the ones in South Dakota.
Yeah, or Arizona. That's what I think of. Or I'm thinking of Badlands from World of Warcraft.
I think you are.
Yeah, that looks like Arizona.
I'll tell you, though, I looked up Badlands because I was thinking, wait,
there
Dakota's
was an old
where?
Arcade game called Badlands. 2, in fact. One that was cars and one that was like one of those Laserdisc Western games.
Ah, wow.
Which people didn't think was very good, but I liked it.
Well, there is a Badlands in California, but also in Philadelphia, it seems. Huh. So, yeah, it's everywhere.
And parts of the school.
The Haunted Wastes.
Oh.
Yeah. Where do you suppose that's going to be?
I don't know. It sounds like a World of Warcraft zone.
It does. Yeah. And Sierra Madre, which would be, I guess, Arizona.
Yep.
Cascadia, so your Pacific Northwest.
Oh, that sounds good.
And California.
Yep.
Haunted Wastes. Maybe that'll be out where we were. I don't want to say Nevada and upset people, but Nevada.
I like the sound of many of those. Cascadia sounds good, the California, but I also like the Badlands and Great Plains sounds
good.
But
where are the Haunted Wastes going to be?
I don't know. I anticipate them.
Or Nevada. Or will they maybe be, maybe that's Canada.
Yeah, the Haunted Wastes.
Yeah. And I'm looking at my notes here, and my thought, my only thought about this, I'm very excited to play it. Obviously, we will wait for the school holidays.
Yes.
To play it. But I think it should be
buy another table.
Well, that's the other thing is, I was going to say, I think it should be one of the first to the table, except we have a bit of a docket to clear.
Yeah.
Well, always this time of the year when we have more time, you know, we push ourselves to really enjoy our hobby more than ever so that we're ready to do our best of the year early in January, unlike the people who do it mid-December. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then games that games that people aren't even realistic going to get till March or April, but I digress. But why didn't they deluxify just a bit more and give us, like, metal trains?
I know, that would have been really good, because that's one of the things I liked about some of those deluxe-y things with the metal trains. They were pretty
And I know you can buy metal trains as, you know, on the side. Lots of places make them. But then I want trains that are in a color but have all different kinds of cars.
Yeah, yeah. That would be really, really awesome. I would love to see some really nice trains. Why are you? She's flipping me off just because I yawned.
What happened? Where are we?
We're at Friday.
We were at Wednesday. What happened?
It kind of, I don't know, we sort of bailed.
There was a yawn?
Yeah, it was getting late. We had the issue with the batteries.
But we came back from that, and then we just sort of wandered off and had some food, and we didn't even finish. You know what? Let's move on. Let's just move on.
Move on.
Let's talk about the game that we're not backing or buying, which was appealing. And that game is Critter Kitchen.
And it would have been an insta-buy about 2 or 3 years ago, I would suggest.
Much like its predecessor, I got that word out, Flamecraft was.
Yes. And I'm kind of repeatedly a bit down on Flamecraft, despite kind of...
I don't know why you liked it fine at the time.
It was just fine, you know, and I use fine this time in a regards to it's good, you know.
Flamecraft was a joy to unbox. It was a luxurious unboxing.
But that might have been more fun than the actual game. You know, like, it's a fine game, but I don't know if it had the weightiness that I crave in a game. I'll play it again. You know, I enjoyed it.
You play light games?
I know I do, but I don't know. When I'm playing a game, I want to be just thinking, ooh, this is fun. I just can't wait to play this again and try this other way of doing it and things. And you know, what can I do? Oh, I'm and like the mechanisms to me are part of like the world building of the game. You know,
but
just the
bookmarks and the pencils and the enamel pins.
I know, they're all so nice, but I just wasn't that jazzed by any of the actions. It was fine. It was a good Euro that I would have been amazed by, you know, when I was newer to the hobby. But, yeah, I mean, I like it. It's pretty, it's gorgeous, the game's fun.
But this is a different game. It's not even Flamecraft.
And it's apparently heavier, which you would think would be a reason to get it, which makes me wonder, does it even belong in this section, or do we just get it?
Well, if you double your pledge from $80 to $160, you get a puzzle, a trivet.
Yeah.
Cookie cutters in a tin. Cookie stamps, apparently, coasters, an oven mitt, albeit one of those ones where you put both hands in at once.
Oh, such like a you know,
finger puzzle deal. Yeah. Tea towels and recipe cards.
I'm not sure I want any of that stuff.
No.
It feels a bit gimmicky.
It does.
And I feel like it gets by a bit on the gimmickiness of its art. Oh, isn't that adorable, those cutesy dragons and animals and things. And that, I guess, is something that makes me a bit hesitant. Although people say, you know, that this
And it has a draw bag and silkscreen meeples and wooden tokens and metal coins and whatever the abbreviation POT is. What do you think that is? That's in my notes, but I wrote these a long time ago.
People of something.
Of terraforming Mars.
I think one of the things that might turn me off slightly about it is I might be going off anthropomorphized animals. Especially super cute anthropomorphized animals. Like, Everdell is just the right side of...
It still has a lot of nature.
Anthropomorphized animals, but it still feels kind of real. You know what I mean? Whereas they're just very cartoony, and I'm
well,
just
Well, Everdell's
not...
in a natural animal setting as opposed to
I mean,
kitchen.
If they retheme this to like something like trading in the Mediterranean, you know, no, I'm kidding, obviously. But
I did think the art was a bit... That was cute the first time, but now I've seen it.
Yeah, I don't really... Yeah, it's a bit... Yeah, a bit that way. And it was dragons before, so that was adorable. But do we need hedgehogs and...
always need a hedgehog.
I don't even know. I don't even know if there is
Brian
a hedgehog.
Brian May could hear you.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Then he won't become our friend.
Yeah.
And half of my life is spent, you know, just thinking about astrophysicist, ace guitarist Brian May being our bestie, should he ever move to, say, this part of Australia, even though we don't have hedgehogs. So
Something, though, about it, I looked at it in retrospect, and when we were looking at back at it again, because we planned this episode weeks ago and then didn't get around to it for a while, and I had a look back.
By the way, planned means we say, hey, what should we talk about the game, you know, we're not getting? Maybe that one that's, you know, the flame-crafty one.
That's about our plan.
And so it is and thus planned.
So I had a look at the game just to refresh my memory about why we didn't back it beyond that general, oh, it's a bit cute, I didn't love Flamecraft despite being happy to own it.
Mm.
Maybe I just need one game in that kind of oeuvre, or however you say it, that word. But there's a mechanism or a game sort of...
Oh, I wonder if you're headed or I'm headed. Well, I know...
I'm not
hold
sure
on,
I
hold
love...
Up. Hold up, hold up, before you get there, because I don't know what you're going to say, but I know it's not going to be simultaneous worker placement,
no,
which
I love
it
that.
Has, and I know it's not going to be snappy quick turns.
It's not.
Because we love that. Can I guess?
Go for it.
Is it fulfilling contracts?
Yeah, I hate that. I've decided I really don't like
Look at
it
that.
In games.
I don't love filling orders, I wrote on
no,
my notes
No, it
here.
Takes me away. It forces me to play in a particular way, and I don't want to have to do that. Like, I can't imagine Great Western Trail if I was taking cards that meant I had to get two Guernseys and a something or other or whatever to Kansas City.
Right.
You know, like you kind of have that a bit in the goal cards. Like at the end of the game, you have this, that, or the other. But there's a lot more sort of fluidity and flexibility with what you take.
And goal cards, you in Great Western Trail,
you might not play them.
Yeah,
you know,
and you have lots of.
And
leeway there.
That's what I was alluding to earlier on when we were talking about...
is this the callback?
Yeah, this is the callback. I kind of like that because, you know, your cards that you pick up, your route cards in Ticket to Ride are kind of like your contract cards. You do this thing and then you've cashed it in. It's like a goal. Mm. But, you know, it's all about building. Because Ticket to Ride's simple and you've only got this one thing to do, you kind of...
So much, at least in the app, of the anxiety of Ticket to Ride is, do I take another route? Do I take a chance? And maybe I've built an infrastructure that's just going to...
It's almost a bit of a push your luck.
Speak to a, to a route that comes up, or am I going to get routes that are all along where I'm not?
But that's honestly something I've realized, that I don't love fulfilling orders, you know? And it can be right back to, like, that one, whichever one of the Mint games had that. I hated having to do that in whichever one of the, you know, this Mint delivery, maybe it is. I don't know. All up to, there's all sorts of games that are, where I wish we didn't have to do orders.
That I realized it looking into this, and so I thought, oh, I need to go look to see which other of our games are flagged as having this mechanism on Board Game Geek.
Yeah.
And here's what they suggested. Splendor.
I don't consider that orders. That's your...
No, because you have so many choices and it's you kind of fulfill them.
You're building an engine to
based,
get these things.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like you're acquiring things. Yeah.
Roll for the Galaxy?
No.
It doesn't hit... I don't have the words right now to articulate why it hits differently.
No,
but
when I mean it's like, you take this card, okay, you need to at some point give a bread and two something or others, you know, and
right. No, I absolutely understand, but it's interesting when I went to look that that's all lumped together like that. Sagrada was lumped in as fulfilling orders.
Like, I think it reminds
me, and those are just objectives to me.
Whereas I think of it more like in that game that we got rid of called, I think, Menu Masters or something, where you had to,
put
two carrots and a something or whatever on the plate, and that meant...
I'm confusing Menu Masters with Burger Up. I don't even remember what was in Menu Masters.
But
I
even
kind
Burger
of,
Up had that sort of thing
Menu
as well.
Menu Masters is like those tedious apps where you have to cook things on stoves and fulfill orders. You always get ads for them in other apps, other better apps.
The only reason we even had Menu Masters is because we backed the Titans of Gaming from Calliope,
which we've talked
about
before,
when we were complete noobs, and it just kept coming.
Hive Mind in the original box. I'm glad that we get to keep that and show what it was once before it became what it is now.
Yeah, but that's it. I mean, for me, these are the real reasons. That's the thing. Because when I looked at it, I was, why aren't we backing this again? This looks really good. You know, am I biased against this game because I'm kind of sick of this art? It's pretty art, but I'm sick of it. Mm. And I think part of it, too, is it's been, there's just so much buzz around Flamecraft, and you saw that art all the time, you know. And
maybe.
And I was just, it's beautiful. If I would kill to be able to draw like that.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But
oh.
It's just perhaps something I was a bit tired of. But then I thought, hey, it still really does look good. It looks like a good game and it looks well put together. And I'm sure it's going to be another amazing production. But I just don't want to fulfill orders.
No, and that is a problem with Flamecraft, I've realized.
Yeah.
Is I don't want to fulfill orders. Yeah, and I wish, it's good we know that now. Are you ready to talk about the game that we've recently played?
Yes, I am. And I'm really excited about it.
I think you should lead this section. Do you remember the game?
I absolutely remember the game, and it taught me the word keshi, which I don't know is a real word or if it is.
I don't think so.
It's invented for the game. Now, much maligned due to its box shape.
Which is absurd.
Yeah, and inexplicably reprinted just like 6 months later. And
also absurd. Everything's absurd new with this game.
Definitive edition, and there's all sorts of complaints about the Steffenfeld City Collection being overpriced and not really being deluxified games and the cost of shipping that they've cranked up. And
in one of our first episodes, we do talk about, what, two or three of the games?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's valid and yet not. Well, it's all valid, whatever your opinion is.
But they're still great games.
But I also kind of disagree because, yeah.
Yeah, the games that we've played have either been, one was good, the others have all been outstanding.
But what is this game?
This is Marrakesh.
Marrakesh.
Which might be my favorite game of the lot.
Same.
Yeah, it is a really good game.
So what were your expectations?
Well, I thought there was going to be major problems with the cube tower. Which, because just a shambles and was going to cause all sorts of problems, didn't for us. Spoiler, we were fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we just got a good one somehow. I wasn't sure what to think because I let you learn how to play it. I looked at, initially I thought the components were going to go everywhere.
What is the last game that you taught?
I can't remember. I haven't done it in a while.
This year?
Maybe not.
The division of labor here.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this. Question. This is I can go with this, you know. And you're good at teaching, you know.
The games. The flattery. My expectations were low because it wasn't a proven game. Like the other ones in the City Collection were re-implementations of games that were popular. So I thought, you know, just spruced up. But this was new. I mean, not that I would ever doubt Steffenfeld, but...
And a lot of people, it got good reviews, but it's over 7, but... I don't know if there's some people that are like, you know, and a lot of that's about price too. Though,
and that
you know?
Queen artwork and Queen palette is not necessarily that special, so it wasn't a real, you know, table charmer.
No, I mean, it's not ugly. You know,
no. And then we watched the Shut Up and Sit Down review afterward. And
they were a bit lukewarm, weren't they?
And I've never disagreed with Shut Up and Sit Down more. That was... kind of disappointing, but I realized that, speaking of epiphanies, I am with Shut Up and Sit Down with their joyous moments, but never really their critical ones.
No, yeah.
Yeah, that I'm like, the things they care about that they criticize, I find I just don't care as much about, but things they love, I find I can also love, so that's nice.
We should clarify that cost is never something that we kind of care about, because once it's here.
Yeah,
no, I'm not saying we're millionaires who buy every game.
No, we do talk about cost.
Yeah, we're not going to buy a gold-plated, you know, game.
But once
we've made the decision and it's here, you know, it's...
Right, but well, no.
I don't feel like we're beholden to board game consumers.
No, there have been some where we've said this, you know, was not good value for what we got.
Oh, yeah, that Chocolate Factory we didn't back a few years ago that was outstandingly expensive and the shipping was just beyond out of this world.
Well, I don't know. I've never played that, so I can't speak to
that. Well, we didn't play it, but that was a real decision. We don't just buy things.
But what I'm saying is, yeah, maybe just they'll say things like, you get this much game out, you know, for this thing that costs less, and I don't want to play that.
I don't
that.
Want two ugly games that I don't want to play over one, you know,
but
nice-ish looking game.
Marrakesh is not a looker, but it's not a looker.
It's satisfying to play with and touch and so forth. Slotted things, and it was just really...
Now, I'd forgotten this. I just glanced at my notes. You said that I'm teaching games well, and I appreciate your dutiful flattery.
Yep.
But Shut Up and Sit Down said that Marrakesh is hard to teach.
I didn't think... Well, you didn't show that. It was really... easy to learn when you taught. I mean, and when you teach, sometimes we mess up one game, You know, and then where you work it out and we're all right the next time. And who cares if we make a minor mistake unless we do on Mars levels of mistakes where we...
we're going to finish it someday. We still love it, though.
Yeah, it was a great game. We completely played it wrong the three times we tried to play it. But,
but we're usually pretty good
with Lacerda games. But I think...
Yeah, so back to the teaching. As I recall, we did it kind of just one action at a time.
Yeah.
And... that seemed to work. Just talk your way through. And if, when you do hear this is going to happen, it's, I don't know how to describe Marrakesh. You always get something, though, no matter what's going on.
I really like the way, even though, you know, your cube doesn't come out of the tower or you don't happen to get the cube you've played, that if you've built up that kind of engine of Keshis, so you take the little Keshis and you throw them in the tower and they come out and then you take turns drafting them.
Which is luck-based and random.
Yeah, there's a bit of luck in it, but there's also mitigation because you have those... If you've got them in the different sectors, like you've got the white temple or that black one, I forget what they're actually called. There's that marketplace which has a name. The
Sook,
You know, and the different places around town that you want to activate. And so your Keshi of that colour doesn't come out. You don't manage to get hold of it. But if you've got like four in that spot and you've got your dude there, you've put him there because it was the one you put into the tower, you still get to do that action. You know, it's not as empowered as it would have been.
It's interesting that you have to be kind of flexible and willing to change plans.
Yeah, and in classic Stefan Feld style, it's utter point salad.
I wrote point salad at the salad buffet.
Yeah, yeah, it is really point salad heavy. And just to counterpoint it against the game we just talked about, Critter Kitchen, I love point salad. I don't want to have to be steered to... I don't want to have a card that says, I have to do the river, you know, and do that. And
Wait. When people talk about point salad, I don't think they're generally negative.
Some people are.
Okay.
Some people are. They say, oh, it's just point salad and you're doing the all these different mechanisms that, you know, don't hang together cohesively. And and let's face it, Marrakesh, at its heart, is a bunch of... little mini games all around the board that and you could add any number of them in there and just different ones. And I, you know, we don't need to have the river. You don't need to have both color temples. You don't need to have that, but
you can't do everything.
No, you can't do everything.
Nor can you go in with a big strategy because, say, I'm trying to really do the river and I put in my blue, but your blue is still in there from, who knows, ages ago. It's been stuck in the... It comes down. And then you're the first player. Not that I would have... If I were going for the river, I would put my blue in because knowing as first player, you could take it. And you take both of those blues. And I think, can I catch up to that? But I noticed that something else has come out and I have a great engine for that and I could really rock it up.
I really like the way it can force you to pivot because... Mm. There were many times, like pretty much every game, I think except the first one. Maybe the first one I was all right. And then after that, the river, you just were away and there was no way. I was going to spend so much time. Did you beat me in all three games or did I win one of them?
You won one. But weren't we only still a couple of points apart, as is so common with the stuff on Feld games?
Yeah, they're pretty close. You tend to beat me at Euros, as I've said, because...
You say that, but I don't believe it.
You do. You spend more time thinking about your turn, and I like to kind of just get my turn done. And, you know, so you're obviously... You're thinking of more permutations. You think it through more than I do, and that's understandable. I didn't feel like there was much downtime between turns. You know, I remember when I wanted to turn the record over, I barely had time to do it, you know, in between turns, and... It's a really quick game. It goes snap, 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 snap. All the turns are pretty obvious what you're going to do.
Right.
But varied. And
because, again, the Keshis can get stuck in the tower, come out later. You plan these moves, and then only four Keshis come out instead of six. And like, okay, maybe I'm going to pick something different. Oh, no, the thing that I put in because I knew I was first player and I wanted to take it and it didn't roll out of the tower.
Yeah, so just to give people who can't comprehend what's going on a bit of an idea, you've got all these possible actions. You've got your different,
so many different
cubes
colors,
behind, like 12 of them, I think, behind a screen. And you pick three each round and all your opponents pick three and you jumble them up in one person's things, throw them in this cube tower and whichever ones get spat out, you take turns in... in drafting. Order, yeah. And, well, the colors you put in, those are the actions you're going to be taking this round. And the number of these keshis that you happen to have in your section of that appropriate color, which matches a given action, is going to decide how powerful your action is. And it's really cool. I just love this
mechanism. And the really good engine building aspect is that you can always choose to improve your engine or to take an action with the engine that you have. So maybe I'm doing, what is it, the dates, and so I put another green in because, you know, I wouldn't mind having a buck. Don't you get a buck with the dates?
Or do
you
get, the dates are, you put them down, you get a point. Get a point for putting
a point.
Them down.
And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not so desperate for dates now, but I'd really like to get later on. I'm going to need to be spending some dates. So I'm actually going to grow my date farm a little bit more before I, you know, cash it in and gather a bunch of dates.
I can see why some people are kind of down on the luck based element. Like, it was the last round and the gray keshi I needed to fill and finish the thing didn't come out. And I just don't care about that. I'm just not that invested in winning games, and you know, sometimes it's just how it goes. And if your game is hanging on one keshi coming out, then do you deserve to be this guaranteed winner, or is that the risk you take?
I think it balances out enough just as you go along.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was the second game or the third game we put in all of the expansions. Or the so-called variants, more like, as is typical for a queen game. So I'm going to ask you what you thought of each one. So there's a purple dial and a pink dial you put in for one of the actions. And on one side, you're always going to get something. And on the other side, sometimes you don't always get something, but sometimes you get something really good. What did you think of having that in the game?
Remind me, hang on, pink dial and a...
The dial, remember? It's in the lower right. You loved that action. You were always taking pink keshis.
The thing down the bottom right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's right. And what did the expansion give us?
Remember, sometimes you could take one or two or three, depending on where the dial was.
I remember, so flipping it over, you
flipping
mean.
It over.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, I understand.
Sometimes it was zero or four.
I didn't even really think of that as like an expansion or a variant. Mm. I just thought of that as like which side of the scoreboard do you play on in Wingspan type thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was
well, that's fine the thing. Is
I was fine either way.
It's not in the base game. Would you rec... I guess it's just more of a mood thing,
didn't
like you say with the scoreboard.
Didn't make any difference to me. I was fine either way.
All right. The next thing that was a little variant was the extra Oasis track where you could reach an end point when you're on the camels in the top left, the brown. And so you couldn't do the little bottom one. Not that we ever did that trail, but you could go up either side of the trail and you could get more of the objectives at the top.
I think time's going to tell on that one because I wasn't particularly good at getting objective tiles over onto the thing, and I was a little overwhelmed with how much there was to get over there. I don't know. I don't know how I felt about that one. I could take it or leave it.
The next one was having the two men on the steps. One was colored white, one was colored black. And when you passed
the Sultan
them,
and
they
imam
walked with
also.
You and they decreased your costs, I believe.
I didn't need that one in the game. I just thought it was unnecessary. It was just kind of added basically an incentive to go up those tracks more quickly, I guess. And I don't know. It was just
I didn't get into
something
that
else to remember. And I don't know. I don't think it needed to be there, but people might explain that it's there because of, you know,
the reasons.
Yeah.
The Sook tiles that we accidentally put into the first game, I think.
Oh, yeah, they were fine. Yeah. Why not have more?
What about the step rewards when you're going up being randomized instead of the ones printed on the board?
I'm happy.
It was kind of interesting.
Adds variety, doesn't it?
I think we must have done that in the third game because I remember.
Yeah, so you got the default ones or you can just mix it up. No, that was fine.
You
that
no
was,
longer kind of. You can get some really good rewards earlier on or not get some of the good rewards earlier
on. I think I'd happily play with that again, yeah. So I would. They're all good. They're all fine. Okay. You know, fine or better.
So the absurdities of this campaign. So, okay, yeah, it comes out in a bigger box than the other ones, but I do understand why. But then very soon afterward, like you said, it came out in a regular side box with, I think it's more modular or smaller boards or something. Okay, things they might have thought of before. But then an expansion came out like 5 minutes later. Mm. Like, I felt like we just got the game and the expansion was on Kickstarter. Like, think we're going to play that anytime soon and know whether we want expansion. Not that we're normally expansion people, but we have enjoyed Marrakech so much. Yeah. So tell me how you think the proper expansion sounds. It gives you a new level to the tower.
Mm. Okay.
There's a camel race going on where you're putting, I guess, keshis or, you know, it's been a while since I looked, but but camel racing.
Sounds interesting. Yeah. Kind of crossover with camel up.
There's a nomad who's some sort of wild keshi that moves around.
Maybe.
There are special buildings that give you some sort of starting resources and ability, like an asymmetrical ability. Kind of like
your mamas and papas in...
In
viticulture.
Yeah. And some tiles that I think also do something similar.
Yeah.
There's some more luxury goods and... A solo board that's dual layered.
I'm mostly interested in things that... I think Tuscany was great in that a lot of the things it added didn't impact the main sequence of the game too much. And I really like Marrakesh. I think it's a really nice game. I don't know if it needs to be overcomplicated. I mean, it's already a fairly weighty mid-level Euro.
But we loved Great Western Trail, and we got Rails to the North, and it's one of the few times where it's like, well, that's
so good. But all Rails to the North really did was add more places to go up the top. And yeah, right, you had your branchlets that got added, and you know, it wasn't really a wholesale change to the game. And
I think the fun of a camel race is appealing, but I agree with you, I don't know that I really want that in this game.
No.
Like you say, go play camel up, maybe.
No, I don't think we need anything else for it. I'm not hanging out to grab that expansion.
So much praise, so many delights. Any nitpicks or wishes?
I mean, we've talked about the small shortcomings of the campaign that it was in the City Collection, like the fact that the lid just doesn't quite feel like it's on right, and that's why they need the sort of sleeve, and the fact that the sleeve is printed with the, you know, ugly
and the box.
Generic queen cover.
Right, if
on
you
one
have
side
it
and,
facing so the pretty cover is like a library book, then you get the ugly spine.
You know, a couple of things like that. But not really. I mean, people are complaining about the tower and it not being balanced and everything gets stuck in or nothing gets stuck in. And we found...
But that's us, We can't be like, well, we had no problem and therefore it's not happening. But I don't know. Camel token, why was that cardboard in a deluxe game?
I don't even remember the camel token.
Exactly. It got passed around back and forth with the Stefan Feld standee.
Well, that was just more of the is it really a deluxe or is it semi-deluxe, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if we really cared, we'd go to Five Tribes. And
I mean, the prices and some of the issues, you know, stopped us backing that. And I think, what was it, Cuzco and something other else. But those games just didn't really leap out at me either, so.
Yeah, the prices. Speaking of prices, I think so. But on the one hand, we've had such success with these games that I every time think, oh man, should we have, you know, gone all in on these others? But cost alone on those, ridiculous. So who would you give Marrakesh to? Who would you say, come play this, my friend?
Friends that I have taught complex-ish board games before, you know, not ones. You know, I'm pretty confident, like, despite what Shut Up and Sit Down said about it being a difficult teach, I'm fairly comfortable I could teach it in like 10 minutes to, you know, my friends who I've, you know, played Great Western Trail. If you know middle to the road to heavy Euros, you'll be
good-natured, patient people. They wouldn't necessarily have to be very experienced, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
They would just have to be kind of open-minded, willing to stumble a bit here and there.
Yeah, and not be going for the win first game.
And what sort of rating will you be giving this on Board Game Geek?
9.
Yeah, I was thinking 9 for the play, 8 for the production, still might land it at a 9 on Board Game Geek.
Yeah, it is a great game. Marrakesh is... This series, for all its issues, has taught me the true joy of Stefan Feld. I thought he might be a bit dry. Like, Trajan is good. You know, I found it maybe a little on the dry side. That could possibly be because of... And we have, I think, the second edition maybe of Trajan or is it the first? I can't remember. But it
Merlin, we
it's
liked.
It's a bit cardboardy.
But...
Merlin was good, you know. I mean, but I remember we were the people who were, you know, way bigger apologists for Merlin than your average people pre-expansion. I know people like it after the expansion.
Yeah,
and we liked it, but honestly, it's left in the everything except New York City is way better than Merlin that we've played in the...
And New York City had its charms, as we discussed. Yeah,
it
does have its
charms. I would never want to get rid of it.
What else is by Stefan Feld that's a big classic that we haven't really considered yet? That
Well, Castles of Burgundy, obviously, oh, but we played that, which is just...
But spoilers.
So spoilers. Okay. So
Now I have to beep that out, or I'll just. Yeah. So if there's a weird patch of silence, that's
me giving a spoiler. Well, I can't really say anything because then won't hear me say the thing.
Stop. No, that was a stupid question on my part.
But we do have Luna, which is not a big classic, and it was fine.
Luna was just fine, though. See, Luna doesn't make me say, "Ooh, who's this Stefan Feld guy?"
It felt maybe a bit farmed out to. You know, someone that he doesn't usually work with.
I'm willing to farm Luna out. No, you didn't bring that up on the cull list.
Because I don't think it's cullable. I thought it was good. I remember enjoying it. It's one of those games that we're going to come back to and you'll say, oh yeah, this was good. It was a good game.
Okay. And you can play this bit when that happens.
Yeah.
But don't bother memorizing, you know, the timestamp or anything. So I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think we'll play Luna again?
Oh, well, I guess if we live long enough, but...
We do have a lot of games.
Yeah, I'm not... Well, the number of games I'd say before Luna, who knows? You know, that was one that I think you taught me and you'll have to go learn it again.
Yeah, it wasn't that difficult. It was pretty...
I remember being excited about some of the bits and that was about it. Now, speaking of bits, over to our right, we have...
Or my left.
Or your left. Sorry, I didn't
a game.
Mean to be Shari-centric in my views. We have a game, and I'm wondering if we're going to be playing it this weekend or possibly tonight.
Definitely this weekend, possibly tonight.
Possibly. I'll take a possibly.
I think tonight's probably a bit unlikely. It's been a rough week, but we'll see.
But it is week 6 of the term completed with only 4 weeks left. To quote Sylvia Plath's final poem, we can taste the spring.
I know.
Except it's summer and it's hot and it's dreadful.
Sweet taste of no classes.
We love our students. They've been, in some cases, especially lovely this week.
Yes, they have.
And I know we complain a lot, but still...
We're lucky.
I still want us all to go away, regroup, and come back next year sooner rather than later.
We need to decompress, that's for sure.
And maybe a good way to decompress would be by playing...